Blog Talk Radio.
The Ray welcomes you to the Success Curve. Join the conversation with your host, Jed Ray, and his guest as they discuss those issues affecting your life. Be inspired, influenced, and challenged to create new possibilities by joining the conversation each week here on The Ray.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to The Success Curve. If it's Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, and you're watching CTV Studios Channel 29 Comcast, or listening on blogtalkradio.com/thesuccesscurve, or even livestream.com/thesuccesscurve, you're watching The Success Curve. My name is Jed Ray, and I am so glad you're here. I want to say a quick hello to my snow angels. They've been waiting for like 3 weeks to hear the voice come through on the TV. Sophie and I can't believe it. Hello, girls. How are you? Joni, Sophie, hello. Anyway, I have a special guest tonight, and I am thoroughly, thoroughly enthused to introduce you. But before I do that, I want to do an intro. First of all, let me go back. Since we've had some technical difficulties over the course of the last couple of weeks, you may not have known that we switched networks away from the Ray Network back to our own individual network. And the reason for that is that we're doing some experimentation to find out what's going on with our listenership and our followership. We noticed that we had a huge population drop for the five of us that had created the Ray Network, Radio Advancing Your Universe. And that particular network was intended to actually grow the audience, and in contrary, it wasn't actually doing that. So we've gone back to our own individual networks. I'm here, Blog Talk Radio. The Success Curve is the trigger word on all of our networks, broadcasting live from the CTV studios in Eugene, Oregon, on Comcast 29. So we're going to see, find out and experiment whether these networks were a positive thing or a negative thing. So if you did not know that or did not hear that, that's why we're not doing the Ray promo like we've done for the last 3 or 4 or 5 months. Anyway, I just thought I'd share that with you. The Success Curve, like I said, comes to you every Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, 10 p.m. Eastern, where we bring you a provocative conversation, an interesting conversation about change agents, influencers, people who affect the lives of people around them or around the world, whoever they touch and whoever they come in contact with. And tonight's guest is no different than any of these that have been here before, and on the contrary, may actually affect the lives of many, many more. And I can't wait to share Michael's story with you. This young man, Michael Rosenfeld, is from the South Florida area, South Beach, in Miami area, and Michael has an amazing story of transformation, in my eyes, in my opinion. Someone who I find fascinating. You know, we all have stories, okay? And in some respects, Michael's story may not be different than millions of other people. But the irony in all of this is that it's not so much Michael's story as much as the stories of the people that Michael is impressing upon. And the things that he's doing. Michael is a life coach, a spiritual life coach. He has spent many years working towards helping young people. And one of the programs that he started some time ago is called Youth Expressions, where, and we'll have Michael talk a little bit about that. But before we do that, I want to run this newsreel that came out of South Florida that talks about the program, and then we'll introduce Michael. Can we run that piece?
A local group for at-risk children in South Florida has hit the big time. Youth Expressions uses music to help these kids deal with real-world problems. And as CBS4's Jim Defeney reports, they're taking their act on the road.
Where do we go? Yeah. Oh, no, but I'm scared. Keys to the beat, no protection when he's back. The creeping and the sleeping got me thinking to myself.
Youth Expressions rehearsing before performance this past weekend. What exactly is Youth Expressions? Calvin Early, YE's program coordinator, explains.
And we're based right here in Miami, Florida, out of Little Haiti. And what we do is we work with youth in the area that are into the arts, rapping, singing, poetry, spoken word. We are what you would call an outlet for young people to speak and be able to get their voices heard.
Founded in 2000 by Michael Rosenfeld as a way of reaching kids at risk, Youth Expressions plays on something called the Notorious Illusion.
The Notorious Illusion is the concept that the kids came up with, that their only way to be successful is to be either a rapper or a singer or a dancer or a ball player. So they come in thinking that that's what Youth Expressions is all about, and it's not.
While performing is the draw, once they get into the program, they're given the support they need in other areas of life. But the performances are still key.
When I started coming, I just fell in love with it. Music has always been my escape. It's always been what set me free. So when I got to YE, it was just beautiful. It kept me off the streets. I feel like YE saved my life.
Through my music, I was able to get certain things out that I would normally bottle up. And yeah, so it was a way for me to just let go and just like reveal what I was feeling. But
they tackle real issues, including gang violence and the impact of AIDS on young people. And it was their recent performance regarding AIDS that garnered them an invitation to perform last week in New York City at the Keep a Child Alive Summit, which was founded by Alicia Keys. For most of them, it was their first time on an airplane.
Their 20-minute piece was so raw and powerful, they've been invited on a 5-city tour of the U.S. And Keys' foundation also wants them to travel to South Africa to perform this spring. For more information on Youth Expressions, log on to CBS4.com for a link to their website. I'm Jim Defeety, CBS 4 News.
A lot of talent there.
Yeah, great program.
You know what I think? I think our weather is a piece of art.
Oh, indeed it is.
A work of art, that is.
Well, that's an example of one of the pieces that of Michael's life that he was instrumental in creating. And we're gonna talk with Michael in a minute. It's not just the only thing that Michael's involved in. He's coaching, currently has a very large client population that he works with on a regular basis. He's a yoga instructor and involved, uses yoga in his coaching. He's just a fascinating young man that has an amazing story about transformation. Michael, are you there, brother?
I am here. Thank you so much for such a beautiful introduction, and I'm extremely grateful to be here with you and to all your listeners. So I just want to say hello to all the listeners and thank all of you for tuning in.
Well, currently Michael is in Miami. I am in Eugene, as far away as one could be in the country. And so we're using a PIP showing some pictures that Michael sent, and some of the other ones that I picked up. There's a picture of him there on the beach. And, you know, so as we're talking, we're going to be flashing some of your pictures. We've got another piece, a video piece that we'll play later in the show and have you talk a little bit more in detail about that. But let's talk about, just for a moment, what brought you to this point in your life? What is it about Michael that you've reached out to this population, this at-risk population? What is it about Michael that triggered you to do that?
Well, the short answer is I've gotten out of my own way to allow my power to come out. And really what that means is I have been able to make sense of things that have happened in my life and see the divine purpose in everything that I've been through. And I recognize that certain experiences I had was so that I would know and I would be able to relate to others who have been through those types of experiences. So when I founded Youth Expressions, it was 12 years ago, I was in a place of really wanting to fulfill a yearning within myself. And this yearning was to experience my meaning, my purpose, my contribution to this world. And that's really what Youth Expressions has allowed me to do over the last 12 years. I've been able to make sense of things that I've been through young at an earlier stage in my life and actually use those experiences and share them with younger kids who are at a similar age where they were going through certain things. These kids were incarcerated from very low-income areas, affected by disease. Some of the kids had been raped and abused at early ages. And it just allowed me to feel my importance.
Yeah.
And really allowed me to learn more about myself. Like if I could see myself at that time, I could have said, hey, I'm an orange. And I would have looked down and I would have seen an orange. But really what I only saw at that time was only a slice of an entire orange.
But
through doing this, was able to learn more about myself, and that's what it was all about.
How difficult was it to make the connection with these young people? Because I know that, you know, at some point in time there's a break between generations, between ages, and it takes a very skilled person to make a connection with a younger population. What were some of those kinds of experiences for you? Did you find that difficult?
No, I just allowed myself to be a fool.
Okay.
I allowed myself to not know, to come from a place of not knowing and to have a genuine interest in all the people who were in front of me. And from that place, I believe they didn't feel judged.
There you go.
Or evaluated, and we were able to connect. So it was just really connecting from a place of wanting to know more and just being excited about each person that was in front of me, each group that I worked with.
Did you all hear that? It's a place of no judgment. I find that really powerful. When we really look at any type of connection that takes place with anyone, it's when it's unconditional, when it's truly unconditional. And that's when a true connection takes place. We accept whoever is in front of us. Wow, that's powerful, Michael. Thank you. And that's real easy to understand. That's real easy to picture and feel, even for someone connecting in their 60s or 70s to someone in their 20s. It's all about that connection. So let's talk a little bit about, I want to go back to a story. You have a story to tell about who Michael is and how all of this began for you. Was there some aha moment? Was there a point in your life when you went, wait a minute, this path, this journey, this direction that I'm taking really, truly is not where I want to go, who I want to go with, where I want my path to be? Was there an aha point?
There was, and in fact, there were many aha points that happened in my life. In fact, the first aha point was when I was 15 years old. I had done something where I thought that I may have AIDS. And at that time, I had already lost a couple friends, and I was in a military school. Mm-hmm. And I just really, I have the greatest parents, but I really allowed myself to get into a lot of trouble. And I really couldn't understand why I was getting all of these second chances and what was my life about. And now here I am thinking that I have AIDS. I'm trying to discover what my great purpose is. And it was at that time that I really started asking questions, really asking questions. And then listening to this inner wisdom, and I wouldn't have ever called it that back then. But it was just really my conscious of, like, knowing right from wrong and listening to that. And once I found out I did not have AIDS, well, and then I kind of just spun out of control again.
Yeah.
And I kept challenging life, and then I, you know, brought more things upon myself. So throughout my life, I've gone through phases where I was just kind of floating and getting by status quo. And then I would always find a way to really bury myself deep in trouble or in a complicated or a difficult situation. And in each one of those situations, that's when I had my aha moment. Mm-hmm. And you know what the beautiful thing is? I'm excited to say that I look forward to having aha moments for the rest of my life.
Amen. That's part of growth. I look forward to those too. And I'm having them on a daily basis. Hey, we've got a caller. You want to take a call?
Sure.
Okay. Caller? Hello?
Yes, hello.
Welcome.
Hi, my name's Seth. How are you doing today, Michael?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
Good, good, good. I'd like to know what your definition of true love is.
My definition of true love?
Yes, sir.
My definition of true love is compassion. It's oneness. It's just true oneness. It's a feeling of yumminess that will never go away. The only thing that happens during true love is that we have this limited belief that comes into play that wants to take us out of it. But true love is complete compassion, and it's alignment. It's the oneness experience within oneself, understanding and honoring the divine power of love and the divine purpose that each and every one of us has. And then we can experience true love in others by seeing the love within ourselves and honoring that within others.
Now, we're currently showing a picture of you and your fiance on the PIP.
That's true love.
Michael's getting married next month. This is awesome.
You know, the issue with true love is we're looking to describe love in very finite terms.
Uh-huh.
You know, so it's for me, I can do my best to describe what it is, but it's really a feeling. It's a connection. It's an awareness. It's an understanding from an overstanding position. It's a full, all-out, universal experience of oneness. But I can't describe it.
Does that answer your question, Seth?
Yeah, I think so. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, cool.
Well, okay, my brother.
Seth?
Yes?
I also, you know, I have other definitions of true love, too. You know, and I'm actually contemplating how funny I should try to be right now. But I experience a true love with my dog because I choose to, and I experience a true love with the couch that's in front of me. Because I see the divine in it. And that's really what it means to me, true love, is it's just seeing the divine in everything. It's oneness. It's just harmony.
Thank
oh,
you.
We must have lied. Oh, okay, it's always there. Thanks, Seth.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you, Seth.
And, you know, it is interesting as I too have experienced some real amazing transformation in the course of the last couple of years, very significant in my life. And one of those is a better understanding of who I am and what that means to me, what love means about me as a person. Because obviously, and you know, this goes without saying, one has to love themselves before they can love anything else. They have to make that connection with themselves. And the interesting thing is that for a long, long time, that wasn't possible in my life. So, when I sit here and listen to you, describe the essence of what love is, it is divinely inspired. If it's divinely inspired, then it's true. It's real. It's powerful. That's thank you for sharing that.
And on the flip side of it, though, I think that love is whatever you say it is.
Sure. Sure.
You know, and, you know, I don't know if there's a right or wrong answer to it. And it's one of those beautiful words to try to describe, because it's just, you can talk about it forever trying to explain it. But really, if I sit in stillness and I just listen, that's true love.
Yeah.
And if I'm expressing myself all out, like bow, 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 that's true love. So I think authenticity, true love, just comes from that divine source of just allowing freedom to be who we are.
Well, so, Michael, are you still doing YE? Are you still doing the youth expressions?
I am. As of December 31st, I have actually handed over youth expressions to some of the kids that have moved through the program. One, he's not a kid anymore, he's a young man. His name's Calvin Early, who was one of the founding members of the program. And for the last 4 years, he's been working for the organization. And he does programming, and he does everything just as good, actually better than I do, in his own unique, beautiful way. And that had always been the dream of the organization. And it's a really interesting story of how it came to this, and I would love to share the story if it's
yeah.
Okay.
Please do.
Well, I had heard of this. Really, I had read this story. I had learned this story about this family. It was a man and his wife, and the only thing the man and the wife had was a cow, and from their cow they got milk. And they got cheese.
Mm-hmm.
And they were living happily, satisfied, because that's what they were taught to do. They were taught to not be greedy, to not want much, just to be status quo and be happy with what you have. But underneath them, there was this burning desire for more, to experience more out of the life. And both of them sort of suppressed that.
Mm-hmm.
So they kind of went by just, you know, getting along, experiencing life in a way of just being status quo, just being satisfied. Well, one day, through the town, comes and knocking on their door is this guru, is this teacher. And they knew the teacher, and the teacher had 10 of his students with him. So the teacher asks them, hey, you know, we've been traveling all day. Would it be okay for me and my 10 students to come eat dinner with you guys? Well, the wife looks at the husband, and she's like, you better not say yes. But he does. He says yes. And then the teacher bows to him. He says, thank you. We'll be back in 1 hour. So now the wife is looking at her husband. How could you? We have nothing to feed him. All we have is this cow. And we have milk and we have cheese. And that's really it. There's nothing to feed him. So the husband says to his wife, I'll be back just a few minutes. Well, about 35 minutes goes by. And he comes back and he has this full set of groceries. So the wife is like, oh, excited. Wow, look at what my husband manifested. And she's like, how did you do it? And he's like, I sold the cow. Whoa. She looked at him and she just gave him that look like, you just sold everything we have for these groceries. And just before she was about to lay into him, the teacher knocks at the door of his 10 students and he's ready to have dinner. Mm. So they're all sitting around the dinner table and the teacher asks for a plate. He gets the plate, he eats it, and then he asks for another one. He eats it and asks for another one until there's absolutely no food left. Then he looks at the married couple, and he smiles, and he says, thank you so much for allowing us to have dinner with you. We feel refreshed, recharged, and we really appreciate your hospitality. And they get up and they leave. So now it's time. The wife is looking at the husband, and she's about to rip his head off. But before she can, he says, I know what you're about to say. I'll take care of it. I'll be right back. So the husband goes out into the forest. And while he's in the forest, he's, for the first time of his life, is actually saying to himself, what do I really want? What do I really need? What is going to make me happy? And just as he's doing that, this old man comes over to him, and he's stumbling, and he puts the hand on the husband's shoulder. He's like, ah, it's so good to see you here. I at least now I don't have to die alone. And the old man looks at him, or, and the husband looks at the old man, and he goes, old man, you're not going to die. You're just very drunk. Let me take care of you. Sit down, have a seat. So the husband sits the old man down, and he starts patting his back, and they start talking. And the old man looks at him, and he just has this beautiful smile on his face. He's so grateful. And he says to the husband, he goes, you know, I really did come here to die. He goes, I could have died where I live, but I would have felt that even though there's a lot of people around me, I was dying alone, and that would have been more painful for me to really die alone. You see, I'm a very wealthy man, and everybody has been waiting for me to die so they can get my inheritance. Nobody really loves me. And he looks at the husband, and he's like, but you don't even know me, and here you are, you're taking care of me, and you don't know anything about me, and I really appreciate that you were giving me this unconditional love, because that's coming from your heart, and you're not being strayed by anything else. And as he's saying that, he goes into his pocket, and he reaches out, and he hands the husband a piece of paper. And it's just as soon as he hands him the piece of paper, the old man dies. So now the husband's like, wow, what a day. I've sold my cow for some groceries. The grocery's gone. My wife is fuming mad at me. And now this old drunk man dies on me. Wow. But he looks at the paper, and he notices that the paper has a map. So he follows the paper to this destination. And sure enough, right there, there's this treasure. There's all of this money and all these great things. So then the husband goes back to his wife, and he's like walking. He's all cool now. You know, he's made it happen. And the wife is extremely happy when he gets there, and they're like, wow. So 3 years later goes by. And during that 3 years, the couple had been able to do things that they'd never done. In other words, they've been able to fill their cup with things that excite them. And because they had a full cup, they were able to give back and able to share in ways that they never could do before. Well, one day, guess who's making his way through the town again? It's the teacher, it's the guru, and he's got his 10 students. So one of the students spots the couple across the street, and he points to the guru, and he's like, wait a second, isn't that the couple who didn't have much, which house we had dinner at a few years ago? And the guru was like, yes, that's them. And the student was like, I don't get it. How do they have all this money now? What happened? So the teacher looks at them, and he says, well, this couple was living very small. They were living status quo. They believed not to ask for more because they believed in doing so, that would be wrong. But what happened was, because they didn't ask for more, they weren't able to express themselves and give back in ways that would make them realize that they have a beautiful purpose in this world. So what I needed to do, the guru said, was eat them out of absolutely everything that they had so they would open up to asking, to wanting, to desiring more out of this world. And once they were able to do that, they were able to receive the things to fill their cup, and they were able to give back. Well, this story, when I heard it, was like really insane for me. It was like, wow. And I kept telling people it, but I didn't know what it meant to me. So I asked myself, where in my life am I playing small? Where am I being satisfied? Where am I status quo? And what I came to was that I love youth expression. I was taking a decent salary from youth expression. I was certainly getting a lot of fulfillment and meaning and purpose in working with the kids. But I was playing small. Because although that was a very beautiful phase of my life, and that phase is now being passed on to the kids so they can do it and grow and then eventually grow out of it, I knew that I had more in this world to do.
Right.
And just as I came to this realization, I'm telling you instantly, Connie and I were having lunch. I got a phone call, and it was from the funder of Youth Expression, one of our funders, which was a state funding agency, and their funding paid my salary. And the woman's on the phone, and she's crying, and she's like, Michael, I got to tell you something. I'm sorry you've done this grant for 3 years. The outcomes are fantastic. You have two more years to go, but the state has lost its funding.
Mm-hmm.
And we can't support it anymore as of December 31st.
Mm-hmm.
I started cracking up. I started laughing hysterically. She's like, why are you laughing? And I said, listen, Youth Expressions is going to be okay. We are fine. The organization is fine. I'm not worried about that at all.
Yeah.
We know how to raise money. We know how to do this. What you're telling me is beautiful, and I really appreciate it for reasons you don't know yet, and I'll share with you later.
Yeah.
And that really, that's what happened on December 31st. And
praise God.
Nice.
Yes, how powerful was that? Well, that's a great story and a great connection to the segue into the second part of the show. Actually, we have another caller. You want to take a call?
I'd love to.
Caller, hello? Do you have a question for Michael?
No.
No? Okay, you're just listening? Okay. Well,
how you doing?
Thank
you for calling in.
Yeah, we're glad you're here. So where is this taking you now? So 2012 is a new birth. Obviously, there's some really amazing things happening in your life. I was, you know, looking at your post yesterday or day before about your gratitude statement, and actually I was real pleased to see that you are very expressive with your gratitude, which I think is real critical for the health of our heart, our spirit, and our soul. Once we acknowledge the fact that we are grateful for what we have, what we're going to have, who we are, and where we are in our lives, that opens us up for, again, just come off of that story that you just told, that our ability to create grows exponentially. So what's going on in Michael's life going forward? You've got a coaching business. Your clients, what's the age range? Are you still dealing with a youth population, or are you dealing with adults as well?
Oh, yeah. It's not an age range at all. I'm working with people who recognize that there's more to life than what they've experienced, mm-hmm. and they really want to be able to know themselves better, to know what their purpose is, and then develop the tools to experience that purpose and receive lasting fulfillment as however that pertains to the individual. So some of my clients are still younger kids, but I'm also working with adults. I'm working with professional athletes, executives. It's more of a type of person,
mm-hmm.
and the person
mm-hmm.
is a person that's willing to look at things from a new perspective, willing to take new actions, and excited about creating a new chapter in their life.
Right, right. And these clients, are they coming from all walks of and all places in the country? Are you doing this online as well?
Yeah, we do Skype. We do a lot of coaching through Skype, as well as just through phone conversations. And some of the clients that live in Florida, I do face to face.
Sure.
Either way, it's very effective, and it's really giving me a lot of excitement when I wake up each morning.
Yeah, cool. All right. So let's talk a little bit about what else is going on in Michael's life. You're getting married in March. This is a woman that you have a personal relationship with, but also a business relationship with as well. You guys are working together, aren't you?
Yes, we are. You know, it's 2012. The numerology for 2012 is 5. The 2 plus 0 is 2, plus 1 is 3, plus 2 is 5.
Right.
And number 5 stands for will. It's all about will. Now, we've heard this before. If it's God's will, then it happens, right?
Right.
Well, my belief in our teachings is each and every one of us, every single person has a special gift to share with the world.
Mm-hmm.
And that gift has a purpose weaved in and out of it. Okay? So when we are aligned with our true selves, with that gift, with our purpose, we experience the most exciting, fulfilling, rewarding experiences one can imagine.
Right.
Why? Because we're living in our brilliant zone. And our brilliant zone is things that come easy to us, things that are fun, and things that are really rewarding.
Yeah.
And Hannah and I are both life coaches. And Hannah had an amazing company that she began, and she realized a little while ago that her brilliant zone is helping people get from where they are to where they want to go. Hannah is an MBA. She has her master's in business. She's a strategist. But more importantly, she has a unique ability to connect to people and really listen and hear them and help them tap into what they value from a professional setting, from a relationship setting, and from a personal viewpoint, and then develop the tools to create the results that they desire. So that's what we're doing together.
So define the definition of true success. Define that for me.
Well, first of all, TRUE is an acronym.
Yes.
As we use it. And it stands for The Real You Expressed.
The Real You Expressed. Okay.
Yep. And what that means is a lot of the teachings that we share come from quantum physics, from Western psychology, from yoga, from all these different Kabbalah, from all these different theories and philosophies and teachings. And what they all have in common is this. Well, we teach that everything is a vibration. Everything is energy. And when we are vibrating at a very high level, right, we're in a place of love and of certainty. And when you vibrate at a very low level, it's a place of fear and a place of doubt. Many people are vibrating at that space because they don't know themselves, and they aren't honoring their true selves. They're being who the TV wants them to be, who the ads tell them they should be, who society wants them to be. And throughout their lives, they're really never getting to know and to experience their true gift, their true power. And it's because they fear or doubt that they're going to be approved or that they're going to be accepted. So when you live true, when you live the real you express, you have this confidence about you. You have this certainty about you. And the reason why is because it feels good. And the reason it feels good is because you're living in alignment with your essence. Mm. And you're coming from your heart. And that is what true success is all about.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you're in this space, again, you're in a high vibration, love and certainty. The results that you desire are waiting for you just like you're wanting them. So you're creating them instantly. And that's what we coach.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting that you say that because I truly believe that once you are connected and understand your true mission, your essence, who you really truly are, there is no limitation. There isn't anything that you can't achieve or create in your life. And I'm a firm believer in that. It's like you said, that vibration of vibrating at a low frequency generally is all based on fear and that's a tough place to be. But it's amazing how many people actually live there. So we're doing our best to help people move through that. How can people get a hold of you so that they you've got a webinar coming up. We're going to post these a couple times. We'll talk about this again before the end of the show. But how do people get a hold of you?
They can find us at the website, which is thetruesuccesscoaching.com.
TheTrueSuccessCoaching.com.
TheTrueSuccessCoaching.com. Our office number is 305-962-1091.
That's also on the website as well?
Yeah, so everything's on the website. Our email and our phone numbers are all on the website.
Okay, give that phone number out one more time. We've got the web address up on the screen, and phone number is 305? 1091. Anyway, I would highly encourage you to connect with Michael and find out a little bit more about him and how he will help transform your life. It's a great opportunity for you to experience Michael's gifts. Let's talk a little bit about this webinar you're having. When is it, next week or next month? When is this webinar happening?
The webinar is Wednesday, February 15th, which is a week from tonight.
Oh, so it's next. Yeah, it's next Wednesday. Okay.
At 8:30 p.m. Eastern.
That's 5:30 on the Pacific Coast for those of us that are out here.
Yeah, and to participate in the webinar, you can sign up by emailing us at trueteleseminar@gmail.com.
TrueTeleseminar@gmail.com.
TrueTeleseminar.
Got it.
@gmail.com. And it's exactly, again, it's TrueTeleseminar@gmail.com. And what we're going to be discussing in the seminar is what you were just touching upon. When we come from that place, we have infinite creative potential. There's nothing that can stop us.
Mm-hmm.
But what we're saying right now is just theory.
Mm-hmm.
What we do is we offer very powerful tools to help you integrate this theory into your life, and we make it very easy so you can get the results that you desire, and more importantly, you can experience your brilliant zone. You can experience your purpose, your gift, and that's really what it's called. It's all about activating your purpose.
Wow.
That's what we'll do on February 15th at 8:30.
How long is the seminar?
This webinar is going to be the first of several, but this particular one will just be 1 hour.
Oh, okay. So
we're going to touch on some things in this 1 hour. But when you leave this 1 hour, you will already have some tools, and it's going to create a huge shift. If you tune into this, when you tune into this, and you actually have a willingness to open up to new perspectives, a willingness to create new results in your life, and a willingness to do new actions, the results are instant and extremely powerful.
Are you recording this webinar so those that may not be able to attend but yet want to connect with you, they'll be able to see that as an archive?
Yes, we will be recording it.
Okay, cool. Yeah, so you definitely want to get a hold of Michael at
I'm sorry, Jeff. I don't know. I'm getting a signal from Hannah. I don't know if we're recording this one.
Okay. Well, regardless, just make sure that you out there listening and watching this, again, let me do a quick ID. I've gotten so involved in the conversation with Michael. You might have tuned in and didn't know who the heck you're watching or listening to. My name is Jed Ray. This is The Success Curve, coming to you live from CTV Studios in Eugene, Oregon, Comcast 29. We broadcast simulcast to livestream.com/The Success Curve, and an audio signal and chat room out to blogtalkradio.com/The Success Curve. There are archives everywhere. Well, there's an archive at thesuccesscurve.com. There's an archive on Blog Talk. There's an archive on Livestream. So you won't miss this show. So tune in every week and have a conversation with The Success Curve. We've gone commercial free tonight just because there wasn't enough time to get everything in. We've got about 15 minutes left, and I still have millions of questions I want to ask Michael. I think the one that burns at me the most are those that influenced me in my life. And so, Michael, I want to know who inspired you. What was it? Who was it? How was it that you became inspired to do what you do?
Most of my inspirations came from my own questioning.
Oh,
and, yeah, my own fears. And my own insecurities.
Interesting.
And there have been times when I had no spirit within me, so it seemed.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And there's this one time. It's a little complicated of a story. It's a few minutes, but long story short, I was involved with drugs at the time, and I had been up for several days straight, and I was almost out of drugs. So I got into my car and I drove down to a place where I knew most of the people. It was the inner city. And at 4 o'clock in the morning, it would be easy for me to be able to get something. But for some reason, this particular night, this particular early morning, I didn't know anyone out. There was no one out except this one boy who I'd never seen before. And I asked him, I went to buy drugs from him, and he sold them to me. And then immediately he put a gun in my mouth. And I watched him at that moment building up this desire to shoot me. I saw him trying to convince himself to do it, but he couldn't. And he pulled the gun out of my mouth, and he took my watch, and he took my wallet. And I was so happy when I was driving home. I was so excited. But I was excited because he took everything except my drugs. So when I got home, I freaked out because while I was driving home, I was doing the drugs.
Mm-hmm.
So now I was in the same position I was before I left. And I consider myself a fairly intelligent person. But at that time, I was in this negative momentum of fear and of abuse. And I actually went back to the same spot to get more. That was the degree of which I was without spirit, or at least not fully present, if you know what I mean.
Right, right.
And through that experience, I began to ask more questions about, again, what my life's purpose is. And I've the people in my life who I've looked at as role models have been Martin Luther King.
Mm-hmm.
Martin Luther King is a huge role model. Moses. Bruce Lee, especially Bruce Lee. And really, these are people who went up against adversity.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a different type of adversity at the time. It was one that was self-imposed. It was one based out of fear. And my struggle at that time, my victory came in the sense of connecting to spirit, connecting to my divinity. And I really had to let go of who I thought I was at that time and discover who I am now. And that's who I looked up to. I looked up to those people.
Yeah. You know, it's quite amazing I guess it really takes... There's a lot of cliches that you can use to describe the event that you just shared. But the reality is that it takes whatever it takes to get you to a point to stand still long enough and examine what you're actually experiencing. And I think that the interesting piece here is it enough to cause you to contemplate a new journey, a new path, or continued on the path that you were on? And in your case, you questioned it enough, you contemplated it enough that realized that that wasn't the journey you wanted to continue to walk. That wasn't the path that you saw as your mission in life, what your purpose was. And, you know, it's quite funny. I look at, in my own life, I don't hide any of this. My mother died an extremely painful, brutal death. She was an alcoholic and a drug addict, and You know, the interesting thing is that for a long, long time, she was cognizant of who she was and her mission in life. She was very, very healthy and clean and sober for many years. And for whatever reason, decided that she could not maintain that energy throughout the remaining part of her life. And so for the last 10 years, she went back to it again. And it was amazing to see someone who, with intellect, was unable to contemplate a path of serenity and peace and love in her heart.
Yeah, and you bring up a good point about the intellect part. Mm-hmm. You know, our logic is very limited.
Yep.
And we sometimes multiply the problem by trying to understand it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's really about going to your heart. Now, mm-hmm. that what I'm saying is theoretical, okay? Because
right.
people say, well, how do I go to get to my heart? Well, that's what we do. We show you how to do this. But, and it's a system that I use. But once you are allowing yourself to go there and you're able to feel and able to experience it in oneness, your purpose comes through, and all you have to do at that time is allow it. It's
mm-hmm.
really that simple.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, that's very, very true, and I'm glad you brought that up, and I'm glad you said that, because it really is not the head. It is the heart. It is the soul. It is the spirit, because, you know, some of the most intelligent human beings on the planet are obviously some of the most destructive to themselves, and so you know that's very, very true. You know, it's and I suspect that was in her case as well. You know, she lost connection with spirit, with her heart. But you know, I find it quite interesting having this conversation now at this point in my life, because she's been gone for, oh, I don't know, almost 20 years. No, not quite 20 years, almost. And it's just fascinating to me that that it's still very vivid, very, very clear. And I actually I understand why she had to do what she had to do, but that was her choice. Anyway, so let's get back to Michael. We've got about 7 minutes left, and what I'd like to ask you is there anything that you have burning in you right now that you want to share with the audience?
Well, actually, what I would love to do, if you're open to this, is to do a coaching session with you on this subject, so the audience can hear how they can make sense of.
Hey, that sounds like a great idea. Can you do that in 5 minutes?
No, we'd have to do it again.
Okay, we're going to get to do it again.
Okay.
I would love to have you back on the show. I'd love to.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's what we're going to do. We'll figure out what the schedule is. We'll have you back, and we'll just have a coaching session on the show.
Yeah.
That sounds great.
Yeah.
That sounds totally awesome. So, again, I want to make sure that everybody knows how to get a hold of you. Let's put that up on the screen if you still got it. You're shaking your head no? She's saying no. So, Michael, why don't you give out the web address again?
The website is
the
truesuccesscoaching.com.
Okay. Go ahead again, Michael.
TrueSuccessCoaching.com. And
okay,
again, you guys can sign up, listeners, you can sign up for a teleseminar by emailing us at TrueTeleseminar@gmail.com.
Again, that's TrueTeleseminar@gmail.com. That'll sign you up for next Wednesdays, 8:30 Eastern. Is that correct? 8:30 Eastern, 5:30 Pacific. Teleseminar for an hour. I would highly recommend you check out Michael's website. truesuccesscoaching.com, and make a connection with this young man, because he's truly, truly has an amazing spirit about him. When I heard, I got to tell you, when I heard the interview that I heard several weeks ago on a radio show, I immediately connected with this man. I knew that he was someone that I wanted to be associated with and wanted to connect with, and I know that you would too. You know, so please get to the website, find out what Michael's all about, find out what his company's all about, what he offers. So ultimately, why coaching? I mean, there were several. We can close with this because I think that will be a segue into the next show. Why coaching, Michael, versus counseling or a therapist or a practitioner or whatever you want to call it? What was it about the coaching portion that drew you?
I went to a coaching school called Coaches Training Institute, and they have an approach called the coactive coaching model.
Mm-hmm.
And in this coaching model, the client is naturally creative, resourceful, and whole. In other words, when you work with someone, you're not seeing them from a place of being a victim. They're not broken. They're not there to be fixed. And for me, I've had relationships with different those professionals
right.
that you just mentioned.
Right.
And
sure.
I think that they serve a beautiful purpose in this world. But for me, my gift is helping people access their gift. And in
yep.
order to do that, I have to be able to connect with them, and I have a genuine interest to experience people and just help them go deeper within. And just coaching through this model has just been a
yeah.
dream come true. It's just
yeah.
that. It's just it's all of it.
Cool. Well, and that, you know, that's interesting that you say that, because I'm a strong, strong believer that the healing doesn't come from the healer. The healing comes in from the healed. The healing that takes place actually comes from within he or she that is being the healed. The healer themselves is only the catalyst for allowing and bringing forth that energy in that individual that's being healed. You know, I spent 30 years in medicine, and I fully understand the essence of Western medicine, but I'm a strong believer today, because I've seen it. I've seen it many, many, many times. We've only got a couple minutes left, so we're going to carry on this conversation on the next show. Michael and I will get together off air and figure out when the next one is, and then we're going to have you all back so that we can use it as a practical application. But until that time, get a hold of Michael. He's got a program next Wednesday. Check out the website, truesuccesscoaching.com. Michael, I love you, brother, and I am so, so blessed that you were able to spend the hour with me tonight, and I look forward to connecting with you again.
Oh, I love you, too, and I'm so grateful to be here with you, and I appreciate you, and I appreciate your work, and I look forward to us connecting again very soon.
Great. You have a great evening. Good night.
You too. Good night. Thank you so much.
So we have about a minute and a half left, and I just want to say thank you very much for tuning in. I think we might have solved some of our technical issues, and I'm really pleased that the show went to completion without some major complications. Tune in next week again, Wednesday evening, 7 p.m. Pacific time, for the Success Curve. Again, I thank you very much for your patronage and your watching this show. So without further ado, we'll see you next week.